We were talking about last time, I was trying to freeze her, stuff in the freezer that broke down. So we said quite simply, the master there, the freezer is broken. So what did we say, boys? She said, really, a lot of the food is there, not mux, actually. A lot of the food is not muxing in the freezer. She was speaking about a fish and a meat, what in the fish and meat, raw fish and raw meat, what in it's got. Questionable. I mean, it's not a question. The best thing to do is to get a goy if one can, to move it. Then they said, what happens if you can't get a goy to move it? I mean, it's not very pleasant, actually. You've got a huge freezer full of stuff. And he asked the goy to take the stuff over to someone else. And I said, not so practical. I mean, a lot of times the goy won't do it. So the question now is, what's better to do? I didn't mention this so clearly last time. There's two options, really. The best option is to do remisa to the goy. That means you tell the goy, I've got a problem. My freezer's broken. So a bit of lack, Moshe, if he understands, they'll say, right, I'm going to come and I'll put it on for you, I'll plug it back in for you. Suddenly, the plug's come out, I can't plug in on Shabbos, I can't do anything about it. So hopefully he'll come along and say, right, I'll plug in for you. As I said last time, you mustn't say yes to him, because that's like a sin with him. Once you say yes, that's like telling him to do it. So you could say to him, that would be a benefit. That would be a big benefit if he does that, but you can't say to him yes. Then we spoke about the is of Nene, what about having benefit from the goy? Doing. So he said, also very interesting, I haven't found his B'alach, I've found his B'alach told me a long time, it's a B'alach which says that if you've got something in a state and it's all right as it is now, as Moshe, in this case over here, the stuff is frozen, for the non-Jew to prolong its frozen stuff, that's what's called Hamon. If it's defrosted and it's got all soft and now the goy puts the freezer on again, to frost it up, to freeze it again, that's Hamon. But to keep it in the situation it is, that's not called Hamon, that's not called Nenemai Sakut. You get around this problem if you do it Derech Misa, a hinfor, and the next thing is you don't have a direct hamor from it. That's not called Nenemai Sakut. The thing is, why is if the goy doesn't understand the messages? Some of them don't always understand this. Can you ask them straight out? Now, there's a big question about this, my friends. I want to explain to you why. We know that there's a concept called Shmus to Shmus, B'mochim, Hefzes. You're allowed to do Amir Rakum for an Issa to Rabbonon when there's a big loss involved. Right. So what do you say over here? Can you do that?
Can you ask the Gentiles?
Yeah. Yeah. Is there an Issa to Rice Bar freeze wrong? Is there an Issa to Rabbonon to plug the socket in and plug the plug into the socket?
Yes.
Oh, so that's what it is. We take on, which is quite rational, we tell it's an Atur. We take on Al-Khaznish, the Khaznish holds his binyan, making electric is binyan, isn't the Raisa. Which is true, that's what we take on. However, there were many Achroin who disagreed with Khaznish. And they held it, not isn't the Raisa, isn't Rabbonon, binyan Rabbonon, Akhapatis, various things. Time Weiss, in one of his shulas, he wants to suggest that when it comes to Amir al-Akum, asking a non-Jew, possibly you can take on that electricity to Rabbonon. And then you would have a heter to ask a non-Jew, shus to shus, among Hesed. Others disagree with this. Others say, no, you take on this deraisa and you can't rely on this. And therefore, this is questionable when you can do this. This is not so simple, this idea. But it's definitely worth bearing in mind. A person's mum is stuck with a big hefzid. Possibly one could be so much on dying vices children that at least one can take on that electricity in this rabbonim with regards to come to ask a non-Jew. I mean, rather for oneself, one takes on this deraisa using electricity. Make electricity, but when it comes to asking a non-Jew to do something, it goes down a level. We can take on since the opinion which holds his mutter, so maybe and now it starts only this rabbon, so it goes down the stage, so maybe then you can be lenient. So that's what he says. Okay? That is what you would do with the issa of freezer, for example. That's a very big story, I don't know if you have this. As I said to you last time, I'm not convinced that within 24 hours, if the freezer stays closed, it's very possible the food's not going to get ruined. But sometimes people come with a shiloh that someone's opened the freezer already, right? The freezer's opened, and you realise the freezer's not working. It's, what do you call it? It's beginning to defrost. What should you do? So that's when it will be relevant. Okay, let's move on to today's topic. Yeah, quite right. There's no problem there. Once it's out, yeah, but I'm not sure what the best thing to do is,
What about Shabbos in Yom
Tov? Yom Tov is much more lenient, Moshe, Yom Tov. Shabbos, we're talking about Shabbos. Shabbos you can ask the Goy. So that's the best answer to ask the Goy, and that's what you should do. Let's move on to today's topic. very interesting thing. They're shouting about stopping muksa. Someone's not sure something's muksa. What's that mean? I mean, I go in my garden Friday, Shabbos morning, and I've got a nice apple tree in my garden. And I see that on the floor is an apple. Can I eat that apple, Rabbi Yisai? Why not? Well, that's the question. When did it fall down? When did this apple come down? If it fell on Friday, it's not muksa. If it fell on Shabbos, it is muksa. I must tell you, this is an interesting case over here. We spoke about this once before. I heard once an interesting shayla was on. He spoke over here of dying Krauss' son, Nachas Yisrael, Hilchos Muksa. He said an interesting story that happened. I think it's a true story. He said Moshe and Rachel were married for many years together, very happy. It came to the 30th anniversary, something like that. I can't remember exactly the story. So Moshe decides he's going to do a surprise for his wife. He went to the shop and he bought a beautiful set of crockery. Nice set of plates. He just planned the whole thing out the anniversary day. He planned the whole thing out. It was Friday night. And what he planned to do was he's going to get his wife, Rachel, to go to a neighbor Friday night before, after she lights the candles. He's going to stay home. What he's going to do, he's going to quickly set the table with the new crockery, and she'll come home. She'll be over the moon, very happy what she sees. Kachaba, everything went according to like clockwork, all arranged perfectly. After I locked his name, she went, I'm just popping over to my friend. I'm going over. He said, I'm going to shoot. So anyway, he puts the whole crockery out on the table. And on top of the shul, because she comes home later, and he's home already. But after the shul, he comes in and says, oh, I've got a surprise for you, says his wife. His wife comes in, what's the surprise? She comes in and she says, oh, it is beautiful, she says. That is mummy stunning. I said, where did you get this crockery? Is that from? I don't know, it's beautiful. So he says to his wife, Rachel, look, we've been married 30 years. You know, tell me what's going on. Are you happy with this thing or not? I tell you, there was in the shop, there was different patterns. There was a red pattern, a green pattern, a blue pattern. I chose the red pattern. I want to know, do you like this pattern or not? If not, I prefer you tell me, and then I'm going to change it. His wife looks at him, and he looks at her, and he says, well, I said, emotion was married long enough, you know, you're right. I don't like the pattern. I want to change it. He says, okay. Oh, no, he says, just here's the problem. That plate is now going back to the shop. That's called soira. It's going back to business. Now, every plate is muksa at home. Agreed?
Yeah.
Now, yeah, good rabbi has to find a head for this, yeah? Right, so it's easy to say it's no good.
Why is it no good?
Why is it no good? Because each one is to go back. I must tell you, it's very interesting. I've just had this week. Rosh, you can buy something, unless it's something comes from Amazon on Friday, I don't know, whatever it is, something which you can use, and you decide you're going to send it back. And you don't want it. The chayr, that's muksa.
You turn it first.
What?
You have to use it
to turn it
anyway.
Basically. First of all, plate. Yeah, you have to ask the question, you have to toy with it. No, he probably toy with it. He put it all out.
He obviously took it. Take it back.
That's a kosher mishpot. Can you take it back? It's been open.
Maybe it was made by Eve. Don't need
to take it.
I think it was toilet.
What do you mean it was?
Anyway, Rabbi, the shayla was now, can you put each plate back in a wrapping in the back of the box? Not wrapping, put it back in a box. So now, this is not really our shayla, Sofet Muksa, but it's just an interesting question over here. So I asked, he was very busy with this question. He's not writer that maybe you could use the plate as it is now. Who says you can't use the plate? Can you put some apple on that plate? I don't understand you, my friend.
You don't mind by throwing the plate and give it back.
Yeah.
And to put an apple on a plate and eat an apple, you do mind.
Say
I don't understand.
You say the plate.
No, you can use it. But what's the end of the
return? It's not
used.
It's not used. It's not used.
Why
is
it
not
used? All you do is
just
walk.
How much
will
it
use? Push it in either. Push it in either.
Okay, you know what you call orange on it?
No, it's used. You've used it. You can't give it back.
It's
not
our
loss. You've
given
it back.
I understand. Yes, turn it into it.
You've just got water on it.
Put orange on it.
Not
for
use.
I've turned it. It's worth putting orange on it. So he was very busy with this. I must say, I asked him a part of this, what was this question. He said, well, the Akasha actually said, he thought back a bit. He said to me, Poshah Frank actually said to me, when did this story happen? I said, it happened Friday night. He said, who did they belong to? Beit HaShemeshes. Yeah.
Who?
In binocular husband Bernard Schmoschus. His wife Rochel was next door. So at the Bernard Schmoschus, when Muxa sets in, he was the Balabasso in his place. I didn't say Greyra. That's such a thing works about Freya.
It does not want it.
He doesn't want it, but Bishas Maisa, when Billy Nash was getting in, he was the Balabas of his place. He was the Balabas of his place. He wanted to use them.
No, he was going to give her a choice.
Yeah, he gave her a choice, but at this present moment, he had to use it.
He was happy.
So he timed it. What?
50-50 that he might
build it.
He might
shut it. No, the husband liked it.
The husband liked it. At the time the husband put it down,
it was so on her.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was so hard. But Bishas, I don't know, books of words like that. Books of words like Bernard Schmoschus, who did it? So he wanted the time. Oh, his time was racist as well, actually. But come back to outside over here. We're talking about a question of Sophic Moxie. You're not sure. So you come into your garden and you see an apple lying on the floor. Now, this apple might have fallen off the tree on Friday.
Why didn't the Gentiles?
It's Friday, Shabbos morning, you come down, you see an apple on the grass there. Can you eat that apple? Now, this is the Gemara in Be'er, very interesting Gemara in Be'er. The Gemara says there. What? Oh, very good, yeah, that's all the way it's off there. So the Gemara, normally in Swarov, I haven't talked about Marmot Kodesh here, but normally a Sophic Rabbonon is normally the Kula. Every Sophic Rabbonon, if you're not sure about something, normally you can be Mekel. Yeah? So over here, it's a Sophic in Moksa, the Chor, the Din should be Sophic Rabbonon the Kula, and I could assume it fell on Friday. Is that right? Why? Come on, Rabbi Yisrael, what's the problem? If you wait till Motzah Shabbos, this apple was Zecher B'Mutzah. The Gemara's case over there, you come to your house on Friday Shabbos morning, an egg is in the chicken. You want to know, where was this egg laid? Was it laid on Friday, you didn't check it on Friday afternoon, or was it laid on Shabbos morning? So the Gemara, even as a soccer bottom of the cooler, and normally you should go to the unions, but over here, since it's a Dovah Shesha Matir, if you wait till what you call the Vadai Motzah Shabbos Mutzah, you can't eat it. Agreed? Yeah. I've given a dogma to this, I'll tell you, I'm not sure if I'm right. I think this touched on this last week. Someone had a flight to Camille at 12 o'clock, so yeah. And he's busy schmoozing, he has his meal, he benches at 6 o'clock, he makes up a cup of coffee, he sits down, makes a shag with him, well, he wants to make a shag with him, this. You know what, I can't remember actually. When did I finish my flight to Camille? Was it at what time was it? Let's say 6:30. Did I finish by 12:30? Or has my meal extended and finish at 1 o'clock? What do you say, everybody?
You can have the coffee.
You can have the coffee. I can see you like coffee.
No. But
that's talking about if Shay Shaw's one made a broth chocolate and one a coffee, you made the broth already. And now you're not sure whether you pass the time, then you can drink it. Well, you know that half the time. That's what we're talking about now. He's at, what time is it? It's 6:30 at night. He's got his coffee in front of him. No, Rocky has his coffee. He wants to have his cup of coffee. He's made. He wants to make a shakra, but he can't know when to finish the meal. Now, normally you say, stop Rabbon, look at the office of Rabbon, and should wait. But this is a bit like Moshe Shematini, because if you wait till 7 o'clock, it's definitely okay. You wouldn't be. So the Chora, you don't say Sophic Rabbonim by Sabbath Shabbos Shmatina. So the Chora over here, on all our cases, which the Maisers talk about Locha, anything which you're not sure about Moksa, is a problem of Sabbath Shmatina. There is a Chiddush from a Tzlach, which we've spoken about before, which is very important. And that is that Tzlach says a Moli a Chiddush. What is the Svara of Sabbath Shmatina? Why do I have to wait till Moksa Shabbos to eat it? It means I've got an egg. What he says? He says, well, I've got an egg, which is in my chicken coop on Shabbos morning. I come down, I see it there, I want to eat it. because I'll say, look, don't eat it now, because if you wait till afterwards, if you wait for Motzah Shabbos, it's definitely mutter. Now you're running a risk, it might be usa. So why eat something which might be an issa? Wait till it's vadai nacht, no problem with Motzah, you can eat it. Agreed? Says that Tzlach, a massive chiddush, it's very interesting, we'll take on a lot of this, that Tzlach says, what's the din when it comes to the Motzah, let's say an item which is Motzah? The Moshe, a person's got a case of a chair, which is the famous case which happened in the Exorcist, where someone put his candles on the chair, on the main, rented a hall out. Let's say he had a shush to put candles on a chair on Friday night. He put them on there, made it a bosses, became muksa, and Shabbos morning he comes back, that chair is mixed with all the others. There's no bishop baroi, same thing, Doshish Matin. If there's a bottom baroi, it's Doshish Matin. Says the Tzlach, that only works by food. When it comes to food, you can only eat a food item once. So my leave, don't eat it now, eat it on Motzah Shabbos, a heter. When it comes to moving a chair, the whole story doesn't make sense. Don't move the chair now, wait till Tzlach to move the chair. But I can move the chair now, I can move the chair tonight. Why should I help Tzlach? Shouldn't ask me a case like this. This is a big question, whether you say this. I'll give you an example. So he and Lachas Yisrael have got an interesting shayla, two shaylas, I just want to speak out of this. Someone set his cell phone. Well, he thinks he set his cell phone to be an alarm for Shabbos morning. Let's say he switched off, there's no problem in moving the phone on Shabbos. See, this is his phone. Comes to Friday night, says to myself, no, I can't remember, did I set it? I can't set it. I don't remember. Now, a normal cell phone is a case like this. Muxa. You can move it so good from a coin. But this guy is not sure whether this phone is going to be used at all. Can he move this phone on Shabbos or not? You understand? Again, he said he thinks he might have set his phone to go to an alarm at 7:30. He wants to wake up Shabbos morning at 7:30. Now, he's put his cell phone over here. He can't remember. He goes to sleep at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock on Friday night. He said, I can't remember. Did I set my phone or not? Now, that could be moving muksa for no reason. Because if that is not set, if the phone is not set for an alarm, he's moving the phone for no reason. Okay, so you might tell me there it's all quite so good for because it might be worse. Says, like this, what happens if he's got two phones? One phone he set and one phone he didn't set. So one phone is definitely going to be moved, Shlomo Seyra. It's a sopik. Which one it is? You don't say Doris Shishamatina, maybe. Maybe you can't move any phone. That's an interesting question, I would say. So you've got two phones, you want to set your alarm for tomorrow morning, you want to use it for tomorrow morning to wake you up, you're not sure whether you can move it. What?
Why
is it together? One of your holding shirt. So one of those phones is definitely not needed. So you're moving a mux item, one of those phones are being moved, so to
say. So why did
he ask the judge to move you? There's no coin motion. I told you, he's busy with the format.
How do you know
that? He's got no time for what you call it. He's got no time for what you call it. So to tell you. He's out of service. He can't do any motion. So now, can you move this or not? Can you move this phone or not? So I don't know if you can call it still a certain good phone. Is it still good phone? My one is definitely not. So this is the question. He wants to say that maybe this is still a heterodoxic Martin, even though it's wait for Motzah Shabbos, no problem. But it's like the case of the Slaffer. If you wait for Motzah Shabbos, you flush the whole thing. You need the alarm clock for tomorrow morning. It's over waiting for Motzah Shabbos. So that's a big shadow when you take on like this thing. That's a question when I ask a reliable rabbi. Okay.
So what happens in this? Can we come?
Good job, all right.
You can't, but I'll stay there, mate.